Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Children, yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus steps aside.
Very good evening to everyone. This is Evan, and we thank God for another Saturday evening. It's always a pleasure to come your way, and I'll be with you from now till 9:30 p.m. And indeed, it's always a good time to spend some time with you, talk about what's happening in the world, in the news, and all that. Indeed, we are in very, very interesting times. And the Bible is getting more interesting to read, especially because we see things unfolding just as described in the Word of God. Last week, I had with me from Accra, Prophet Simon Opoku, and he talked about the warning the Lord gave him in the year 2020 regarding the global food crisis that is ahead, and it's unfolding as we talk now. But, you know, we are not seeing it in the way people expect, but it's just it's an issue of time. You know, it starts little gradually and then it escalates. And, you know, for those who missed it, you can listen to it, spiritissues.info. And I believe it's good to understand these things from the spiritual perspective. You know, the economists are talking, the agro economists are talking, the scientists are talking and all. But God has also spoken already. So they are just confirming what God has spoken ahead of time. And it's, you know, this evening, well, it's still evening, you know, that was around 5:30 thereabout, I was speaking to this lady. She imports food from outside the country. So she's an importer and a Christian. So she understands the dynamics both ways. And so we were talking about these things. And she was saying that, you know, people are living in delusion because, you know, now you talk to people in US, Germany, and all, they are talking about the shortages, the restrictions. In Germany, for instance, can buy more than 2 gallons of oil in some shops, some 1 liter. I mean, all these restrictions are there, empty shelves in US, part of US and UK and all. So the Ghanaians out there now even say that, hey, and so she was telling me, even one friend in the US was joking with her that for Mugu play Mobremo USA and all that. I mean, but it's happening. These are the realities. You know, the shortages are happening in the Western and developed societies. So people here in Ghana are sometimes struggling to see how serious this thing is. It's like, well, it's over there, but we have it. We go to our shops, the things are there, just as the prices that are high, it's expensive. But then she said something that's, you know, it's just a matter of time. So I also said that I know that all that we have in our shops in Ghana here is old stocks that we had. Then she said, yes. And that's the truth. You see, so we are depending on old stocks now because these US and all these places, Ghanaian businessmen have gone for the food there and brought it here. They've imported it here. So we still have enough for us. And these are the old stocks. So it looks like, oh, all is fine here, all is well here. It's just about time. And then the reality would unfold. So that's why, you know, for this program, I say it as it is. If you listen to this program from way back last year, August, September, October coming, I started reading to you reports, UN reports, warning about what is coming, and all prepare and all these things. But, you know, there's an interesting aspect of it. I was having a chat with a pastor friend this week, and, you know, this issue we talk about a lot about this stuff. And, I mean, it's been on this by radio, Pastor Roger, those who heard the few times we talked on this program. So we were talking about the fact that how much can you store? How much? Because if the thing is going to, and even the UN is saying it, the food crisis, this evening I was just reading the World Economic Forum, you know, they finished their meeting this week in Davos, their annual meeting, where they go and think about all the evil that they have to do to the world. And they discussed food, of course, food crisis, energy, and all those stuff, globalization, you know. But the food one statement they made was, it's a multi-year crisis, you know. So, and the UN has been saying most of the experts are saying that it's not a short-term, like, 1 month, 2 month type of thing. They project it to go into some few years. So last week when Prophet Opoku said it, I wasn't surprised. I mean, so that's exactly the reality, you know. So how much can you store? That's why eventually you are going to need God. You are going to need God to provide, you know. So that's why I'm starting this series on faith building series. I mean, from tonight going as the Lord leads. And it's important to build our faith. We have to know God from another angle and know Him well, because certainly we just can't depend on our own wisdom and strategies in these days we are in. No. We are going to need God at another level, and we'll be talking about it. But first, let me get into the news and we'll look at some things happening, a few things in the week. Eben, and I believe we are ready to go as we get into the news. Greetings to our listeners outside the city and outside the country as well. Okay, so let's see a few things happening this week. Russia claims it tested hypersonic Zircon cruise missile. So Russia has successfully tested the hypersonic Zircon cruise missile, the country's Ministry of Defense said on Saturday, that's today. The missile has previously been touted as a major breakthrough in weapons development, with Saturday's launch clearing a distance of 625 miles. According to the reports, video shows the missile fired from the Barents Sea and striking a target in the White Sea with great precision. Today, the lead frigate of Project 22350, Admiral of the Fleet of the Soviet Union, Gorslikov, fired a second hypersonic missile, cruise missile, at a sea target position in the White Sea from the Barents Sea, the Defense Ministry announced, according to Russian state news agency TASS. The second missile can travel 9 times the speed of sound. Whoa, that's serious. According to intelligence on the new weapon, Russia recently completed test launches of the SAMAT, an intercontinental missile that can carry nuclear warheads, according to reports. You know, and this week there was one big news, in which China and Russia did military maneuvers together. You know, so whilst Biden was in the Asia, talking, doing his meetings, you know, against things, purposely, you know, anti-China, you know, meetings and all, China and Russia also did some major military moves. You know, it shows clearly the times ahead can really, really be rough, because when China and Russia partners to do their things, it sends a whole strong signal, because, you know, that's where this whole issue is. Because so when Biden was asked about Taiwan, China taking Taiwan, and they said that, oh, they would, you know, U.S. would act and all that. But that's not the U.S. policy, because the U.S. policy is that they will not intervene if China takes Taiwan. They will help military in terms of, like, they've been helping them training equipment and all. But as U.S. confronting military forces and all, that's the U.S. policy says, no, that shouldn't be the case. That's been their policy, age-old policy. So as soon as Biden, you know, is an old man now, making mistakes and errors and all the time, and so the White House and other senior government officials have to clarify that, no, I mean, what he said is not there. That's not the real thing. But be it as it may, you know, China is just testing the waters. They know it's just a matter of time. They are going to take Taiwan, and they know the U.S. cannot do anything. They know it. So they are just doing, they are going to do it at their own timelines. And so, you know, what Russia has done and is still doing in Ukraine, it will not be long. China is also going to take Taiwan, but that one there to be a much, much easier thing, because China, Taiwan is so small. China can just circle it within, and they've been practicing seriously how to take the place and all that. But, you know, these wars and rumors of wars, they are not going to end, because the word of God says that there will be wars and rumors of wars in the last days. And a lot of things we are seeing are really, really pointing to the fact that, yes, these are the last days the Bible talks about. So that one is also on. And then there's this church. I mean, I don't even want to use the word church. Anyway, you have Church of Satan. So, well, let's take it like that. Church of Scotland votes to allow ministers to marry same-sex couples. So the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland voted Monday to allow ministers and deacons to marry, same-sex couples. By a vote of 274 to 136, ministers and deacons in the Reformed Calvinist denomination can now apply to become authorized celebrants to conduct same-sex ceremonies. According to the statement released by the Church of Scotland, no person will be required to participate in or be involved in the arrangement for the same-sex marriage unless they explicitly wish to do so, unquote. Then, quote again, there has been a lengthy, there has been a lengthy, prayerful and in-depth discussion and debate about this topic for many years at all levels of the church to find a solution that respects diversity and values the beliefs of all, unquote. General Assembly moderator, the Reverend Ian Greenshield, said in a statement, you know, there has been a lengthy prayerful and in-depth discussion. You know, so how was the prayer done? Dear God, give us the permission to marry same-sex couples. Or, dear God, overlook our errors when we marry. I mean, how do you tell me you pray about this? I mean, what type of prayer? Let me continue. Greenshield said that the Church of Scotland is a broad church with many diverse views on marriage among its over 300,000 members, noting that the church is committed to handling the topic in grace and humility. The tone and tenor of discussions are civil, and people are respectful of those who hold opposing views. Greenshield added, all celebrants would be expected to take account of the peace and unity and pastoral needs of the congregation and any parish or any grouping of which it's a part, while considering to conduct same-sex marriage ceremony. Under the new rules, pastors who want to conduct same-sex marriages would first have to apply to the principal's clerk's office, which will send an application to the Registrar General of Scotland on their behalf. The principal clerk plans to maintain a record of those who conduct same-sex weddings, and church leaders are responsible for renewing their status to perform same-sex ceremonies every 3 years. The Church of Scotland is a member of the World Communion of Reformed Churches. Reformed, Reformed Churches, founded in 1560. It has over 800 ministers serving in parishes and chaplaincies, most in Scotland, but also in England and Europe. The Reverend Phil Gunn, minister of Ruskin Parish Church in Ross-shire, believes the overture is not biblical. Quote, a church that does not provoke any crisis, preach a gospel that does not unsettle, proclaim a word of God that does not get under anyone's skin, or a word of God that does not touch the real sin of the society in which it is being proclaimed, what kind of gospel is that? Unquote, asks Gunn in a statement. Quote again, we see the scriptures, old and new, that point to God's teaching on marriage and human sexuality. We are called to love everyone as Christ commanded us. We are to demonstrate God's love to the world, so they might recognize something different in us. But that does not mean we have to conform to the ways of society or the world. Unquote. Gunn said that, quote, the Bible is the supreme rule of faith and the life for the church. Unquote. Quote again, God has called us all. God has called us as his followers to be bold and make a stand for what is right in his eyes. Unquote. Gunn proclaimed. And then quote says, if we choose to turn our back on scripture, how can we stand up and say we are ministers of God's church if we then change what God says? Unquote. Wow, that's the truth he has said. Then Reverend Leslie Stewart, a minister and a commissioner, agrees with the Church of Scotland's new policy to allow same-sex marriages. Quote, he says, we have always lived with differences and we always will. No one in this General Assembly Hall is the same as you, and no one thinks the same as you, and maybe we should thank God for that, unquote, Stewart said. So is that all you can say? Oh, come on. But, quote again, we are the church together, and if you look to your right and to your left, look in front of you and look behind you, hopefully what you can see is simply a reflection of Christ. We are the church together, unquote. Interesting. Stewart believes that Jesus wants everyone to be seen by our love for one another. Okay, there we go. I do respect the choice of ministers to choose, Stewart continued. I do respect the faith and desire of members and ministers to say I do and be married in their church in a way that most of us have been able to do throughout the whole of our lives and take for granted. Ahead of Monday's vote, members of the Assembly expressed differing thoughts on the legislation. The first openly gay clergyman in the Church of Scotland to have his appointment approved in 2009, the Reverend Scott Rennie, told the General Assembly he would, quote, not marry his husband in a religious wedding in the way that he would have wanted to do in the past. Quote, I sincerely hope the Assembly will find it in itself to support the deliverance, even those who have their doubts, unquote, Rennie said, according to the BBC. Quote again, I want to say that marriage is a wonderful thing, but marriage to my husband Dave nurtures my life and my ministry. Hey, ministry, okay. Frankly, I couldn't be a minister without this love and support. It is much the same as opposite sex marriage. It's in its joys and its glories, unquote. No words. The vote's outcome was expected because a majority of the denomination's presbyteries had voiced their support last month. The UK-based Christian Institute said it's very sad to learn that most of the presbyteries support same-sex weddings. The Christian Institute Scotland officer, Nigel Kenny, said in a statement that, quote, the Bible is crystal clear about the traditional biblical beliefs of marriage. True, God honoring marriage is only between one man and one woman. Jesus' own teaching on this in Matthew 19 could not be clearer, but it seems that the majority of presbyteries are more interested in taking their cue from the culture than Christ, unquote, Kenny stated. The Covenant Fellowship Scotland, a group of evangelicals within the Church of Scotland, said in a statement that the Church of Scotland is making a serious mistake. The General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, in converting an overture permitting ministers and deacons to officiate at same-sex marriages into an act of the Church, has acted in a way which is both unbiblical and sinful. The statement reads, that's very true, I agree with. We all have a deep pastoral care and concern for those who wish to enter into same-sex marriages, and we understand the pastoral impulse of ministers and deacons who wish to help people at life's key moments. But we must nevertheless point to the complete absence of any compelling or persuasive biblical evidence that might permit ministers and deacons of the Church of Scotland to officiate at same-sex marriages. The Covenant Fellowship contends that the Church of Scotland's decision contradicts everything the Bible has to say about the complementary nature of men and women and the character and the purpose of marriage. Instead of following the clear and unambiguous teaching of God's written word, the Bible, the Church of Scotland continues to follow popular opinion, the statement concluded. And this is really, really serious. You know, you see, it just shows the state of the body of Christ. You know, and if you have church, and I dare say, you should go and look at the degrees that they will say they have, you know, learned. But then, without any power, without any spirit, the Holy Spirit has been kicked out. This is the synagogue of Satan. Clear points. This is the Holy Spirit is not in this church again. As soon as you decided that we are going this way, you've kicked him out. He's no longer in the church. I mean, seriously, all the pastors who support the Bible stance and position, I mean, the best is they should just leave. I mean, because this is no longer a church that is worthy of being called the Church of God. No. It's not. It's lost that value. It's lost that standard. Because as soon as you go this way, clearly, I mean, how can you merge this worldly, lifestyle, which is clearly unbiblical and anti-Christian, and still hold on to the tenets and say that you belong to God, you believe in the word of God? Which word of God then supervises and approves this marriage? There is no reference anywhere in the word of God that justifies and approves and gives the mandate of an ordained minister to officiate a wedding, a same-sex wedding, holding the Bible. I mean, it doesn't apply. There's nowhere in the word of God that justifies and gives this authority. So, which spiritual authority are they deriving this mandate from to officiate same-sex marriages? It's from the society. It's from the LGBT communities. You see? So, now the church has been manipulated, and they've gone the way of the world fully, to the point where now the Bible has been thrown away. I mean, because all the things that they support now, you can't find it in the word of God. But this is the world we are in, where there's intimidation and manipulation. You know, this week, this MP, Honorable Sam George, was saying how, I think, this Spanish embassy also, they've written to our foreign affairs ministry that they want to start celebrating same-sex marriages in Ghana. And he was, you know, he's been really very vocal about this whole LGBT, anti-LGBT bill in parliament and all. And I like the way he's been very vocal and bold about it, based on his Christian principles and all. And he was saying to the point that, so they've written to our ministry, foreign affairs ministry, and the foreign affairs ministry has written to the registrar general for legal advice, because the registrar general is in charge of marriages in Ghana, like the registration and all these things. And so they are waiting a response from the Registrar General's office and all. You know, so ideally, I mean, this one, ideally, you don't have to waste time, but, you know, just following diplomatic protocols and all that, so that is going through those things. But, you know, that's the effrontery they have to write and say we want to now recognize and celebrate, you know, same-sex marriages in Ghana. So that means they are citizens, Spanish citizens, whether Spanish Spanish or Spanish Ghanaian or whatever. I mean, that's up to them. But, you know, that's the boldness they have. So they've written. At the time of writing this letter, whoever was writing this knows very well the laws of Ghana and knows that this country doesn't support it. But you see, they don't care. They just want to make a case. And then they'll make noise. Hey, we are homophobic, we are this, we are that, we are all that. You know, I was talking to a friend in the U.S. a few weeks ago, and she was telling me how intimidating this whole thing. Now, in workplaces now, you can't say anything because you dare say something, you know, against these people, and it's like you are tagged, you are homophobic, hate crime, you are this, you are that, you know. And that's the world we are in, where something that ideally common sense should not even be activated to know that this is wrong. But now, that's the world we live in. It's being hailed, it's being celebrated, it's, you know, seen as the new world. And the church outside there is being, you know, they are just falling for it one after the other. It's just my prayer that, you know, we will not fall for it in this country at any point in time. But if Christ tarries, then, you know, the way the world is going now, there, it's something else, something else. Okay, so back to Nigeria with their news on gunmen abduct two priests and two boys from Catholic Church in Nigeria. And it's just prayer that can make a difference now. Unidentified gunmen attacked the Catholic parish in northern Nigeria this week and abducted two priests and two unidentified boys as kidnappings and attacks on Christians carry on unabated in the African country. So the priests identified as Father Stephen Ojapa and Father Oliver Opara from the Catholic Diocese of Sokoto, and the two young boys were abducted from St. Patrick Catholic Church in Gidan and the area of Katsina State's Kafur local government area early Wednesday, according to Vatican News. The whereabouts of the four seized during the raid are not known, and Father Chris Omotosho, the director of social communication for the Sokoto Diocese, was quoted as saying, "Kindly pray for their safety and release," he added. The kidnappings come a week after the death of Father Joseph Akita Paco from the Archdiocese of Kaduna, who was abducted in March by gunmen from his residence in St. John Catholic Church in Kudenda area. Earlier this month, radical Islamic militants from Islamic Fulani Herdsmen or Islamic State West Africa Province killed at least 8 Christians, including children younger than 5, and wounded several others in an attack in Bono State. The attackers had AK-47 rifles and shouted Allahu Akbar whilst firing indiscriminately, according to the U.S.-based persecution watchdog International Christian Concern. Weapons are being made available to militants in Nigeria through war-torn Libya, and in the country's northeast region, the terrorist groups Boko Haram and Islamic State West Africa Province, ISWAP, have killed thousands and displaced millions in recent years. And the issue of Nigeria's persecution is something which is sad, because you look at a system where the government has virtually lost control, and that's it. The government has lost control, and there's no will from the presidency to really confront this thing head on, because, you know, interests are there. You know, he himself is one of them. So it's like this whole thing becomes something else. And it's worrying, because you see a country that has hundreds of thousands of military, but in terms of men and all, but a few thousands are now ravaging the country, the northern part of the country, and now you read reports, their train service from Abuja up north is now, that's the safe way, because the highways are no-go areas, kidnappings and killings on the highways. So train was their safe option from Abuja to Kaduna and up in the northern areas and all. But a few weeks ago, that one too was attacked, kidnappings took place, several were kidnapped. And so there is this fear in the system, and it's really, really very unfortunate. So, but that's why we just can't take for granted the warnings coming from our national security in Ghana, because the warnings are quite serious. We shouldn't take it for granted that churches and public places and all should be on the alert. You know, when the government gets to this point of giving such warnings, then it means, they are just not saying it for saying sake. They know why they are saying it, based on intelligence and all. But my worry about this thing was, when this thing was announced this week, phone line was given for emergency calls. They've had 10,000 calls, and almost all are prank calls. When I saw that news, I just couldn't imagine. What type of society have we become? Why would close to 10,000 calls, and almost all are just not saying it, just prank calls, just for the fun of it, making jokes, lying, come on. It shows how the society has degenerated into morality has been thrown to the dogs. Because why would you take a phone, call security, national security in this case, or whichever, but they are coordinating all this, and then give false information, lie about it. You see, and the problem is, when you create such a system, and all these 10,000 calls that were going in, you are blocking the lines, because when a true call has to be made, a correct call that really needs prompt action, lines will be busy, because fake callers are busy calling, while the true call has to be held on. I sometimes just can't understand how people think in this country. How people, and I heard that report again that time, fire service, the same people call and they are just lying, prank calls, ambulance service, prank calls. And the saddest part of it is, should you find and identify these people making these calls, I dare say that most of them are Christians. Tomorrow, they will go to church. They will go and sit in church tomorrow, lift up their hands and say they are praising God, they are thanking God. What type of Christianity? Because we claim the country is largely Christian, 70% Christian. So if, per that logic, whatever we hear in the society, like this 10,000 callers, we can conveniently assume that same formula applies. So if, let's say, 70% of these callers are Christians, there's something wrong. There is something wrong with us. Anyway, we just have to keep praying seriously and regarding these things, because ultimately we should take it serious, because the prophet last week, the one I spoke to, Prophet Simon Opoku, last year, the Lord showed him. So he posted it on his Facebook worker about it, that we have to pray. There will be an attack and all that on churches and pastors. So we have to pray. So it's not something we should take it lightly at all. We have to pray. And one prayer we should not forget to pray these days is for God to guide us and lead us. Especially, when we are leaving home, we are going somewhere, God should order your steps, because, anything, any second, a second delay can save you from a situation. You can be at the wrong place and at the wrong, you shouldn't be there, but it's God who can keep you from not being there at that point in time, in that moment, and all. So it's important we really pray for God to order our steps every day, wherever we are going. He should lead us and all that. You know, there's one thing I've adopted for some time now, not now, like some years. I don't stress myself sometimes when someone is delaying me unduly, or maybe someone have to pick something, the person is just delaying, I'm going somewhere, I'm waiting for someone, and the person, I don't really fret and stress myself, because I've just come to know that if you believe that God is ordering your steps, whatever, the delays are all part of it. Because sometimes that person's delaying you is actually saving you. So, you see, but because we don't understand God in his ways and operations, it's like, oh, that you're angry with the person and I've waited, and why complain. But if God were to open our eyes and we are to see how his angels actually block that person so that the person delayed, so that you'll be late, and it saves you from something, accident, whatever, an attack, whatever, you really know that, oh, so this whole thing was the will of God and the plan of God. You see, so it's important we understand how God does things, and so that we know how to pray accordingly. All right, so let's finish off with a few news items, then we are done. The last one. India, Christians in India say police officer who burned down their church is now threatening to kill them. So Christians in India's central state of Chhattisgarh are accusing authorities of not taking action against the police officer who burned down their church house, their house church building, and threatened to arrest them in a fabricated case and kill them if they continue to hold church services. Worship services. And then the house church belonging to a tribal Christian Kadiguva from Kestaram village, and was burned down. The building was burned down by a police officer identified as Sub Inspector Bravesh Shende from the Kestaram police station in February, but no action has been taken against the officer, according to Morning Star News report this week. On February 3rd, the officer barged into the building during the church service and warned them against gathering for prayer and worship, and threatened to charge them with being communist or Maoist rebels. A day later, the officer summoned Geva and the church member named Turam to the police station, where he ordered them to burn down the church. The two Christians refused. Then, we refused to burn the church, they stated in a complaint sent to the Chhattisgarh Christian Forum. And when we refused to do anything of that sort, he abused us in filthy language and threatened to kill us. He said that he will falsely book us and then send us to jail. On February 5th, the officer again summoned the two Christians and told them he had initiated a burning down of their church structure. He told us that he has got our worship place banned and warned us that we must not do such a thing again, that's meeting for prayer and worship, or else he will arrest us and send us to jail, the complaint says. 2 days later, the Chhattisgarh Christian Forum president Arun Panlal and church leaders met with the Chhattisgarh Director General of Police and submitted their complaint, requesting an inquiry and dismissal of the police for burning the church. As of Saturday, that's last week Saturday, no action had been taken against the officer. Government is hand in hand and then with the perpetrators of the violence. Panalel was quoted as saying the police in Chhattisgarh have also been they've also been compromised because the government is not taking proper action. The perpetrators are encouraged to persecute the Christians. Christians make up only 2.3% of India's population, and Hindus comprise about 80%. Hindu nationalists claim that Christians force or give financial benefits to Hindus to convert them to Christianity. You know, and this is the charge they put up against Christians. So because of that, they resist and attack Christians. And it's ridiculous. They go out, evangelize pray, people get miracles, healed and all that, and they choose to become Christians. And yet these attacks keep coming against Christians because the Hindus don't understand why these people are just accepting Christ and they just attack them and all that. It's very unfortunate. But these are the things the Word of God said, persecution. People would face these things. So you just have to pray to support them. Eben, and this is Issues of Life. I'll be back after this short break.
We've turned the page, for a new day has dawned, and we've rearranged what is right and what's wrong. Somehow we've drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. And where are the virtues that once gave us light? And where are the morals that governed our lives? Someday we all will awake and the back just to find what we've lost. We need to get back to the basics of a life, a heart that is pure and the love.
We need to get back.
beautiful song by the group called For Him, and it's an old song, and I like and I love the words because it really gives a vivid summary of the times we are in. But as we believers, you know, we need to get back to the basics of life. You know, we've turned the page, for a new day has dawned, and we've rearranged what is right and what's wrong. Somehow, we've drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. Oh, that's a serious issue. Where are the virtues that once gave us light? Where are the morals that governed our lives? Someday we will awake and look back just to find what we've lost. We need to get back to the basics of life, a heart that's pure and a love that's blind, a faith, that's my emphasis, a faith that is fervently grounded in Christ, the hope that endures for all times. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life. The newest rage is to reason it out. Just meditate and you can overcome every doubt. After all, man is a god, they say. God is no longer alive. But I still believe in the old rugged cross. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And I still believe there is hope for the lost. And I know the rock of all ages will stand through the changes of time. And I know the rock of all ages will stand through the changes of time. Indeed, the times have changed and it's still changing. But we know the God that we serve. We need to get back to the basics of life, a heart that's pure and a love that's blind, a faith that is fervently grounded in Christ, a hope that endures for all times. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life. We need to get back to the basics of life. And then, basically, that's the song, a heart that's pure and a love that is blind. Beautiful song. So, I'm talking about this faith building series. You know, we have to start building our faith. You know, it's a wise person who foresees what is coming and prepares for it. You know, you just don't sit down. Ask yourself one thing. Why do we have Bible prophecy? Why would God give an advance information ahead of time? So it's like privileged information. The world will knock their heads because they just don't understand what is happening in the world. They just don't know what is coming and all that. But believers should not be in that same situation. That's the reason why God gives advance notice, like the vision, the dream, the revelation the Lord gave Prophet Simon Opoku last week. We talked about it. If you missed it, you can listen online at spiritissues.info or in the Telegram group, Spirit Issues. It's not just for fun that God will show people things. This is coming. My children, prepare. And then, so it's not just like, just for fun that God shows things to the children, the prophets. No, the word of God says the Lord does not do things unless he tells his prophets. Yeah, I think it's Amos, I think. This is so, when we downplay the warnings of the Lord, those in the word of God, those he's still giving in real time and in our time, dreams, visions, prophetic warnings and all, they are not just for fun. There is a reason to give his children an advantage and privileged information of the world or in the world that they are in. You see, so when we get this privileged information from the Lord, how do we take advantage of that information? Of what use is that information to us? If we just hear it and we just go back to normal life, we just hear it and we just sit and wait and nothing doing, well, let's wait and see. And then, what if it comes to pass? Hey, you were told, a prophet said it on issues of life. He posted it on this way. you see, it's not just for that to know when it happens. Oh, it has happened. Oh, indeed, the prophet said it, and it has happened. And then, you see, that information that the Lord gives his children is to be utilized to their advantage. That's the whole reason. God can decide to keep quiet. Nobody can compel him, God, to talk. show us dreams, visions. No, nobody can compel God. But it is out of his love for his children that he decides to give them privileged information so that the children will be wise and know what to do at the right time, like the children of Issachar, who knew what Israel ought to do. So that's the whole reason why God shows and gives warnings ahead of time. But the challenge is not with God. The challenge is with us. We, the recipients of the information, when we gather that information and we get it, what do we do with it? How do we utilize that information? How do we process and take advantage of that information? The whole problem becomes us. As for God, he has delivered the information. Now, the ball is in our court. But how we utilize it is where the challenge now comes in. So, yes, oh, the Lord showed it to us, oh, and then what did you do? We didn't do anything about it. Hey, the Lord warned us, oh, and then what did you do? We were just there. You know, that shouldn't be the case. That shouldn't be the case. But I sadly will say boldly that it will still be the case for some believers, because they will hear all the things and still the reality will still catch up. And it's like nothing has been done. No spiritual preparation, nothing. I mean, nothing. Physical, spiritual, emotional, nothing. So now we still go back to God. Oh, God, yeah, so... But, you see, sometimes we put ourselves in situations that makes things difficult for us. And then we'll turn around and we're blaming God. But the truth is, it is not God. It is we who are the problem. So when we understand things from that perspective, it becomes easier. In the midst of the storms, you realize that you will still be able to be at peace. And people would wonder, how come? How can it be? But you are just there in peace, in quiet and in peace. You are not fretting, you are not bothered. Yes, the reality is there, but you know who is in charge. See, so that gives you that confidence. But you can only get to that position to be in the midst of the storms, comfortable and at peace, when we know God at another level. And we can know God at another level by we adjusting the way we regard and relate to him, God. And as I said, he, God, there doesn't change. I mean, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we are the ones who need to amend our ways and get correct things and adjust to fit his schedule and plan for us. So let's get into the word of God. And the first question I'm asking is, how do we believe in God? I mean, how do we know God? How do we believe in God? Is it just because we're told, well, there's God, believe in him. Okay, I believe in God. How do we believe? Do we truly believe in God? Because we've been told to believe in him, so okay, they say I should believe, so I'm believing. Is it something that has to do with you experiencing him, experiential knowledge? You know God for yourself. No one has to. Now, if someone comes and says that God doesn't exist, there's no God, would you just believe that person? Or you can say that I know God for myself and I know God indeed exists. I mean, can we defend our belief in God? Can we defend our faith? Can we defend and say that I know what I've believed and I know I'm on the right path? That faith, can we really justify the faith that we have in the word of God and in God? You know, this evening I was reading Hebrews 11, and I had not thought about it from that angle before, so the Holy Spirit drew my attention along that line. So we start with Hebrews 11, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And then through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God an excellent sacrifice. Because of time, so I'll be skipping. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And by faith, it is impossible, that's verse 6, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham. And then, you know, it goes on and on and on. We get to 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. 23. By faith, Moses. 24. By faith, Moses. You know, so then the Holy Spirit drew my attention to the fact that can it also be said of us that by faith, Abel, by faith, Amma, by faith, Dinah, by faith, Isaac, can we also, can our names be associated with our actions by faith? So, this, by faith. You know, the issue is most times we read the word of God and we appropriate it as, oh, the works of God. Yes, he did this for them. History, God did that. He did this. He divided the Red Sea. We read it. Then, while doing Egypt, yes, he did miracles. Goshen, the Israelites were there. They had light, darkness here. You know, we read all those things. And if we are not careful, we just leave it as, oh, the old works of God, the stories, the things that God did in those days. And then the wilderness, he fed them, he was with them, he did this. I mean, so it's sometimes we just read it and we leave it there. It's like, oh, okay, yes, it happened then. That was the God wonders and all that in those days. But we are in 2022, so, you know, we try to draw a line and try to demarcate as to what point God's miraculous things ended. It ended in the word of God. So, in our time now, you know, we are in a modern era, you know, computer age, we are going to space, we have internet, we have fiber, we have this, you know. So we are in a modern world where it's becoming more difficult to now bring into play the works of God in the word of God, translating it to our time that it is still the same God that we serve. So if God did wonders in the word of God, that same God is still capable of doing wonders today, 2022. So that struggle, you know, this is like an unconscious act. Not that we've intentionally decided to relegate the miracles in the word of God to history alone. It's an unconscious act that over the period of time, it's like, oh yes, we believe he did it. Yes, no doubt about it. But then, if we are to ask, do a survey and ask Christians, so do you believe that the miracles in the word of God can still happen in 2022? You realize some will be laughing and some will be scratching their heads and some will be maybe, and you know, all sorts of, you know. So, yes, we believe God, no doubt. We believe, oh yes, we believe he did this, we believe he did that. But we don't want to accept that he's capable. We know he can do things, but, you know, unconsciously, the devil has been able to, one way or the other, convince us that, well, you know, times have changed. You know, the season has changed. So, let's just leave what we read in the word of God. Let's leave it where it belongs, in the word of God, history. So, we read a lot of these things as history. But, that's not how it should be. That's not how it should be. If we see it as just Bible stories, then we'll miss out a great deal. And that's been the problem of modern day Christianity, because we've relegated God to the background because we are not giving him the actual freedom to operate in our lives. Because if we were to really get back to the point where God is fully in charge, things would have been different. But because we've made him, seen him as, you know, God of the Old Testament type of thing, and, you know, the history, the Bible stories, so we have not conditioned ourselves that the things we read in the Word of God is also possible in our lives and is possible in our times. So now people even doubt, even, of course, I mean, we all know there have been, you know, there are people who falsify miracles and all those things, you know, the business people, is there, it's, now I know that about it. But there are people who even still raise questions about genuine miracles of God, because they can't link modern 2022 or 21, 2020, I mean, modern Christianity, modern life, with the same God of miracles in the Bible that we see as history. So it's like, yes, he did it in history, but in our time, we don't believe he did it. We don't believe it's possible. And that is a very wrong approach that unconsciously a lot of us have taken. Not that we are doubting God, but no, we just don't think he will do it. So we've not even thought of praying for some things and really thinking it's possible, because it's like, it's not possible. So we don't want to even bother God and ask him for it. The reason why it's important we look at these things from these angles is the fact that the world is getting into a season and a time where it's those who know their God who do exploits. I mean, it's, if you don't know God well, you are just a casual, you know, just know God casually, you are going to be in trouble. I mean, that one is a fact and is the truth. You are going to struggle in the times ahead, because it's those who know God who can take advantage of his provision. It's those who know God who can take advantage of his deliverance, his guidance, his whatever. So those who just hold on casually to their faith, they don't believe that God can do wonders even in our time, they'll be found wanting in their time of need, in their time of lack. You know, so we have to start building our faith first based on the Word of God. You know, to know God and to believe in his Word means you believe what is in his Word. You know, a lot of us will say, oh, that we believe the Word of God, but if you believe the Word of God, then there should be a connection between believing what is in the Word of God and the practicability of what is in the Word of God in your life. So if you believe that God did this in the Word of God, it must be possible for him to do same in my life as well. So by faith, Joseph, by faith this, by faith this, we read Hebrews 11. What about us? Can we put ourselves there in a way that by faith, me, this, by faith, can we also be part of the men of faith, men and women of faith? Because it shouldn't be that, yes, they had faith, but what about us? You see, so by faith, we are the season that we are entering in, or we've entered in naturally. I mean, the new world order system is on. We should understand that we should start tuning our minds and psychologically and spiritually preparing ourselves to start living by faith. Because indeed, we are going to need it a whole lot of times in the times ahead. Oh yes, we are going to need to live by faith in the times ahead. As for the truth, it's not comfortable saying it, but it has to be said. You know, I started saying it right from the first day of the first edition of this year's edition of Issues, that this year is going to be a rough year, roller coaster. I mean, rough year, things are, but it should be rough for the rest of the world. But those who know their God, it can be a smooth year. I mean, so even now, for instance, where things are, you know, subsidy heavy, cost of things high and all that, there are some people who don't see it. I mean, as people are complaining and all that, there are people who it means nothing to them. That is how a Christian can also go through the times ahead. So when the whole world, everybody is complaining, everybody is doing this, everybody is crying, everybody is wailing and lamenting and complaining and this and that and that, you are just there quietly, and it's like people, hey, what do you need, Ghana? It's as if you are not part of the system. You are in the world, yes, but you are part of the system, yes, but you know, you are operating from another mandate. So you are not really bothered by all that is bothering the others. You don't know God. You know your God. So you are living by that principle, because you believe that He is the one. He has gone ahead of you, and He is taking care of you. He is directing you. He is providing for you. He is delivering you. You see, so when you have that knowledge of Him, things are different for you. So it doesn't matter the storms. You see things differently. And that's the encouragement I'm bringing to you this evening, that we should challenge ourselves to know God at another level. We should now push ourselves to be people of faith. The heroes of faith, as it's called, Hebrews 11, all the names are mentioned, But what about us? Can't we also be heroes of faith in our time? Can't it be said that you are also a person of faith, heroes of faith are listed in our time? You too, you'll be there. Your name will be there. By faith, me. You see, that is the challenge that this series in the next few weeks is going to be about, where we now look at the word of God, what God did for them, and now appropriate it in our time. Is it possible for God to do the same for us? You see, unless we are saying that God has changed, but if He has not changed, He was able to do it then, why can't He do it now? He was able to do it for them. Why can't He also do it for us? What are the restrictions? What are the limitations? Why God cannot do it for us? You see, so that's what the problem is also. It's not Him. Because that same power that He used in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that same power is available to us. So why are we not experiencing Him at another level? The issue is us, not Him. So my encouragement, in this first edition of it, this series, is let's start assessing ourselves, analyzing our lives. Where have we failed in our belief in God? Where has our faith been lacking? What has caused us to be lukewarm? We are in God, but we are not in God. We believe in God, but we don't believe in God. It's like we are not too sure of this whole thing we are in, Christianity thing, and things have become difficult, things have become hard. So this whole thing, your life is just, you are just existing. You don't have time to, you know, a whole lot of things going on in your mind. You are worried, you are disappointed, you are stressed, and all that. But let's take time to reflect and assess ourselves. That where have we gone wrong in we believing in the word of God fully? We trusting in God fully? You know, there is a purpose and a reason why we are on this earth at this point in time. God could have made you be born whatever way in 18th century, 19th century, or 17th century. But there's a reason why he allowed you to be born at the time and when you were born, so that in the year 2022, you will be alive. There's a reason. He knows why he made you available in our time, in this time. You see, every coach, every sports coach knows the caliber and the potential of the players he chooses for an event, be it football or whatever. He knows this person can be best on the field when the game is really in its dying moments. This person will do very well when there's pressure on the team. So the coach knows that, and he knows how to do his selections. The same thing can be placed in God's way of doing things. He knows his best team that he can rely on in these last days. So there's a reason why he made you to be alive and not die last year. No, he knows why he would want you to be alive, to see some things, because he also knows and expects you to do some things. He knows your potential. The problem is, as I'm saying, we are the problem. So we are not pushing hard enough. The coach has selected that, yes, we are in the team, in the last days team. But we are disappointing him now. We are the ones who are the problem. We are not pulling our weight enough. We are not pushing hard enough. We are not running fast enough. So we now have to get back to the gym, to the dressing room, to the whatever, and start questioning ourselves and correcting our wrongs and seeing how best we can improve our performance, because we've been called. We are alive in the last days. It's obvious. As for the issue of last days, there's no debate about it. It's obvious we are in the last days. But ask yourself, why did God allow you to be alive in this season? He could have made you die in 1980. He didn't. He could have made you die in 1990. He didn't. So if he is allowing you to see some things in these times, there must be a reason. So now let's get back to that person, the coach, who has selected you to be part of the last day's team. What role he wants you to play? Let's ask God what he wants us to do, how he wants us to do things, and then now we can depend on him and allow him to be our leader, guide us, shepherd us. You see, that's the whole role of the Holy Spirit. But you see, most of the time we just shut him off. We don't have time for him. We don't allow him the free course in doing things. But if we realign our thinking and understand that he, God, is in charge, then we can now know that we have to do our part well, because we are the ones who are the problem. We are the ones who are failing, so that we push ourselves harder to the point where we can hear him, we can, we can allow him to really lead us in these times. And the truth is, we are going to need him. We are going to need him a lot more than in previous years. Oh yes, we are going to need him a lot more than we needed him in COVID time. You know, as for COVID, I've said it and said it a number of times on this program. It's just the door opener, the way maker, or the opening of greater, in this case, quote and unquote, greater and more evil days. That was the beginning of the whole, that was what they used to introduce us into the new world order. That was the system that they used to introduce the world into the new world order. That was the door opener to start the whole agenda. So it's just the beginning of things to come. So we are going to need God more, because evil is going to increase. The world economy is just going to go down, down, down in the months ahead. The economic systems are going to fail. Recession is going to hit the U.S. and the big economies. The ripple effect will run through the whole world economy. No, things are going to happen soon. You see, so the world is really going to get rough. Oh, yes, the world is really going to get rough. But these are not to scare you, but to help you to build your faith so that you know that, yes, the storm is coming. So what do I do? I have to prepare and be ready for the storm. You can't stop the storms that are coming, but you can be ready for the storms. You see, so when you see the storms coming and you are well fortified and you are ready for it, your whole response is not to fear, because you know that you endure it and you survive it. So if we build our faith and our capacity spiritually to really be on the side of God's will, be in his will, be on his team and all that, it doesn't matter what the World Economic Forum guys will do. I mean, it doesn't matter the shiftings that they are causing and they are going to cause, the food shortages that is going to happen, is happening and is going to worsen. It doesn't matter the storms that will come and may come. You know that there is God on your side. And you believe in God. You believe in that God to the point where nothing will shake you. That is why it's important we start building our faith. Let's get back to the basics, the word of God, the foundation, the word of God. Let's start getting serious with it. You know, a lot of believers now, we just see Christianity as just some social club. I mean, we just call ourselves Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. But the real life of being a Christian, a lot of us are missing it. So we are just on autopilot. I'm a Christian. We are just Christians. I mean, church, we just go to church to please our conscience. I mean, we are Christians. But that real life of being a Christian is a struggle for a lot of people. And it's important we get it right now that things aren't so, like, serious in terms of the shakings. Because if we don't get it right now, when the real shakings begin, as the word of God says, the love of many will grow cold, there will be a great falling away. Yes, it's the shakings, the trials, the difficulties, the persecutions, all these things are the factors that will cause people to fall away from the faith. And two, will cause people's love to grow cold. There will be something that will cause these things to happen. But as to how you can resist it and to withstand and, like, be able to endure so that your love doesn't grow cold and you also don't fall away, you have to be grounded in the word of God. You have to be a man of faith, a hero of faith or a heroine of faith. So we should ground ourselves in the word of God. And it's important we get started now. Now is the time that we should start preparing spiritually, building our faith. I'll be back after this beautiful song as well. And I'll close for the day. Let me get this song.
All I have is now to be faithful, to be holy, and to shine, lighting up the darkness right now. I really have no choice.
Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM Kumasi, Ghana. I'm Eben, and I have just about 6 minutes or so to finish and round up tonight's edition of Issues of Life. The beautiful line in the song for me is, "Can't change what's happened till now, but we can change what will be." Let me repeat. Can't change what's happened till now, but we can change what will be. And that's the truth. That's why if we build our faith, we build our spiritual capacity, the times ahead can be different than how it should have been if we didn't really have faith. So the whole thing depends on us. The whole thing depends on us. Yes, the storms are coming, but as to how we endure the storms, it absolutely depends on us. How well we position ourselves spiritually, how well we connect with God, how well we believe in God, how well we stand in faith and walk in faith and live by faith. The whole thing is about us. As for God, He is unchanging God. He is a constant. He is there. So the same God in the Word of God, all through Genesis right to Revelation, yes, the same God is that same God that we are exposed to, we have been introduced to. But as to how we appropriate His Word in our lives, how we appropriate our relationship with Him in our lives, how we stand and live by faith based on our relationship with Him and our understanding of what He has done in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and how practicable those things can be in our lives. The equation, the whole thing depends on us. We have to fill that equation. For God, He is still God, but we are the ones who have to build ourselves into people who are people of faith, heroes of faith, or heroines of faith. We are the ones. We should push ourselves to the limits, to the point where we are people of faith. We believe in God. We believe in His word. We believe He can do this. We believe He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have to work out things. So let's assess ourselves. Let's examine ourselves where we have fallen short, where we have doubted Him, where we've questioned Him and all that. Let's correct things and start building our capacity spiritually. Let's start building our faith. Let's start working on ourselves, because it's very important in these days we are in and the times ahead. Let's be encouraged. You know, it's the things happening in the world is enough to let you live in fear. It's enough to really push you in fear and worry and anxiety and all that. But it's a choice that we can make, that we will not live in fear. We will rather live by faith. We will not let fear and worry and what we don't have and all that to be a hindrance to our believing in God, our trusting in God, our living by faith. The devil will try to, you know, try to say things to dissuade you and all that. But let's not allow him. Let's stand firm in our faith and let's really stand and resist any temptations and any drawbacks into questioning God and, you know, losing our faith and all that and drifting into fear. No, we shouldn't give room for that. So let's build ourselves up. Let's build ourselves up. All right, so I believe you've been blessed by this first edition of this faith building series, and God, next week we're continuing. And I believe by the time we go through this few weeks, I think 4 or 5 weeks, at least we'll get the foundation to build upon subsequently, you know, as the time goes on and on. So this is Eben, and the recording will be on spiritissues.info and in the Telegram group Spirit Issues, and you can listen to it again, and let's encourage ourselves. So God willing, next week, and have a good night. Thank you.
We've turned the page, for a new day has dawned.